ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Entitled Maharaj Raghugana meets Jada Bharat, verse number 19. Aham cha yogeshwaram atmatattva,
aham cha yogeshwaram atmatattva,
svidam muninam param paramam gurum vai,
svidam muninam
प्रश्नं प्रवक्ता किमिहरणं तत् प्रश्नं प्रवक्ता किमिहरणं तत् साक्षात् ज्ञान कलावतीर्णम्
Every time.
You know the spiritual science perfectly well. You are the most exalted of all learned sages, and you have descended for the benefit of all human society. You have come to give spiritual knowledge, and you are direct representative of Kapiladeva, the incarnation of God and the plenary portion of knowledge. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world? Purport by As Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham mat gater antaratmana dhavan bhajate yomam samaya yuksa tamo mataha. O four yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Jadabharat was a perfect yogi. He was formerly the Emperor Bharat Maharaj, and he was now the most exalted personality among learned sages and the master of all mystic power. Although Jadabharat was an ordinary living entity, he had inherited all the knowledge given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva. He could therefore be taken directly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his stanzas to the spiritual master, Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastrahi. An exalted personality like Jadabharat is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He fully represents the Lord by giving knowledge to others. Jadabharat is here and accepted as a direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He was imparting knowledge on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Maharaj Jagugana concluded that it was appropriate to ask Him about Atma Tattva, the spiritual science. Tat Jnanartham Sa Gurum Eva Vigache. This Vedic injunction is also confirmed here. If anyone is at all interested in knowing the spiritual science, Brahma Jnanasa, he must approach a guru like Jada.
ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यानुपीष्टं स्थापितं येन मूर्तये स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुर्वैष्णवांश्च
Here, King Raghugana is responding to Jadabharat. And indeed, this verse is a glorification of Jadabharat and in general glorification of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna coming in the discipline succession. Here, Raghugana glorifies Jadabharat, saying he is the Atma Tattva Vidam Munina Paramam Guru. So, it's a very interesting way of presenting. Atma Tattva Vidam. Atma Tattva is referring to spiritual science. Atma Tattva. Atma Tattva Vidam. Of those who know the spiritual science, and they are saintly persons, and that's why Munina, they are great saints, and among them you are the Paramam Guru. You are the topmost guru even among self-realized devotees. So that is the first glorification that is given here. And he is Yoga Isharam, he is the master of all mystic power. So a pure devotee has all mystic powers. So here we can see he is addressed as, okay, he is a Yogeshwara and he is also Atma Tattva Vidam Paramam Guru. In that way, Jadabharat is being glorified. Then in the verse we can see that he is qualified to ask questions, because he is the one to whom one can inquire spiritual questions. That's why it's mentioned prashtum, to ask questions, to inquire. He is qualified because he is the Paramam Guru. He is the Param Guru. He is actually the Supreme Guru, even among all other self-realized persons. And why it is so? Because Sakshat Dharim Jnana Kalavatarnam. So it is mentioned. Why is it so? Because he is Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastrai. We chant this every morning, but I don't know how far we realize this point. Because when it comes to the tune, half awake, getting up in the morning, come for Mangalarati, we sing Guru Ashtakam. So, Guru Ashtakam is a very exalted prayer in which the glories of the spiritual master is very well described. And one of the points we can hear in Guru Ashtakam is Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastrahi Uktaha Tadha. So, he is Sakshat Haritvena. So that's what here also. Sakshat, when it combines with Hari, it becomes Sakshat Dhari. So that's why it is mentioned here also. Sakshat Dhari, it is mentioned. Meaning Sakshat means directly Hari. So spiritual master is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And here, there is one more explanation given to this spiritual master, because Jnana Kala Avatirnam. So who is that Hari? He is Jnana Kala Avatirnam, who is the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Kapiladeva, who came to, or he incarnated to describe Sankhya Yoga, the ultimate devotion service. So in that way, here Raghugana is mentioning that Jadabharat is a qualified spiritual master. And so, what is this question? Prashtum pravrutta kimiharanamta kim iharanam. So what is the shelter, what is the secure shelter for the living entity? So that is the question that King Raghugana wants to pose. So we can see a very, very nice verse here explaining who King Raghugana is asking questions to. What is his qualification? Very well described. He is a Yogeshwara. He is Atma Tattva Vidam Munina Paramam Guru to sect. And finally, he is Sakshat Hari. He is directly representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and here specifically he is the representative of Jnana Kalavatirnam Kapila Muni. So in that way we can see that Jadabharat is a fully qualified spiritual master representing the instructions of the Supreme Lord. And so King Raghugana wants to ask, what is the secure shelter for the living entities? Now let's try to go bit more about this verse. Here, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and explains Sakshat Dharitvena Samastra Shastrahi. And it is given why Jadabharat is exalted, or a bona fide spiritual master is exalted. An exalted personality like Jadabharat is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he fully represents the Lord by giving knowledge to others. Now, let's try to see the life of Jadabharat. It is mentioned that a spiritual master, specifically a bona fide spiritual master, is always preaching. It's not just when he is giving a lecture, he is preaching. Rather, all the time a spiritual master is preaching. It is demonstrated very well by Jadabharat. Jadabharat was acting as dumb and dull. He wasn't speaking anything. He was acting in a most weird way. So usually, you do the ablution and then you wash. But he would do in the reverse way. He would first wash and he would do that activity. Everything he would do in an opposite way. Why was he doing that? So So he didn't want to get attached to anyone, nor he wanted anyone to get attached to him. So he had this experience of being attached to an insignificant deer. And if you can't relate to getting attached to a deer, we can understand by getting attached to a pet. Sometimes people walk their dog and then they serve their dog, their pets. And sometimes we see their face, it can resemble that of their pet because of such close association, sarupya. So we can see if they develop such kind of an attachment, what is going to be their destination. So here, since he made a mistake, now he is demonstrating his detachment. He didn't want to get attached to anything in this world. To his father, he was a good person, he was a great devotee, but he didn't want to get attached to them. And other, his brothers were pious in some sense, but he didn't want to get attached to them either. So since they found, the relatives found that Jadabharat was of no use, rather he's just consuming food and he's not speaking anything, he's not doing anything, they didn't consider him to be a worthy person. So they had a good, appropriate work for him according to his nature. Somebody is dumb and dull and stout, looks very strong but practically of no use. So they made him as a scarecrow. Just be in the field, just wander around in the field, have a stick in his hand, then no crows will come and eat the grains. So they thought, okay, whatever it is, you know, he's serving us. And in return, they used to feed him some food, and many times it was rotten and stale. And Jadabharat, because of his complete absorption in Krishna, he didn't care what he was fed. He just ate whatever came to his plate. And he considered it as amrita, as nectar, whatever thing he just ate. And he was completely absorbed in Krishna. He was completely absorbed in devotion process within. And externally he acted as dumb and dull. And so he didn't have problem to chase away the crows or other birds or animals. He just was there. Was he preaching Krishna consciousness being in the association of his relatives? It's a difficult question. So the acharyas say that he was indeed preaching Krishna consciousness even while he was speaking nothing. So it is mentioned, he was simply preaching by his physical presence, just by giving his association. So he prolonged his association with his brothers who were not really devotees as long as possible to give them mercy, just by giving his vapu to them, just body to them. So they were doing some kind of service, may not be on the highest level, but just giving that physical association, he was elevating his relatives because his father had already passed away. Now he was left with his brothers and he simply served him by giving his association. So his physical work was not his service to them, rather his physical association was his service to them. So he was gradually giving them mercy, he was elevating. So even though he was not giving knowledge to them, still he was preaching. Then one could ask this question, why he wasn't giving knowledge to these people who are kind of, cannot say inimical, but not so favorable for Krishna consciousness, because they weren't ready. So Jadabharat understood that his brothers weren't ready to accept knowledge, so he didn't speak. So what's the whole point speaking if they are not going to accept? Rather, they can become more inimical. So best thing is not to speak anything. So this is a very important example in front of us, that Bhagavad Gita also says the same point, that you know, don't agitate people who are not ready. At least engage them some activities which they can perform, rather than speaking the full philosophy and agitating them. Many times when we become devotees, that is one of our qualities. We want to preach everything to everyone. In 1 hour we want to give Bhagavad Sapta for 7 days, in 1 hour, give everything. And we want to convert them. And as much as possible, as soon as possible. And then eventually we do realize that it doesn't work. We can see people become inimical and we use all the strong words. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha. And also from fifth canto, naham deho deha bhajan, kashtan kama nahade vibhujane. Now, you know, this sense enjoyment is for, you know, stool eating hawks. So rather, now, tapo divyam, okay, come. Do some tapa. Tapo divyam putraga ayena sattam shuddhi ajasma brahma saukhyam tu anantam. Okay, take the eternal happiness I'm giving you now, take it now. So we want to preach like that. But it doesn't work. Eventually we understand that it doesn't work. And especially if you are preaching to your family members, please don't do this mistake. Don't go with the stick. You know, one hand stick and one hand bhagavatam, you know. I will beat you, just take the process. Now, we have to chant now, we have to offer now. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Alter, there are the demigods. Remove them now. You know, it's not right. Immediately. Abuddhaya. You are all less intelligent. So, mother is telling, you know, go to shop and buy something. No, no, I have to, you know, read bhagavatam, you go. You know, something like that. We do this kind of preaching initially. We may do it. But don't do it. It is not going to help. So that is one, get some maturity, that one understands that it's not all about philosophy, it's not all about how strongly we present. It's very important how we behave. So Jadavara demonstrated that right in the beginning to his family members. Then what happened? He was just sitting as a scarecrow and it was in the night. And the dacoits came and they wanted a man who is like an animal. And they thought, okay, Jadavarat is a very good person for that. He looks like an animal almost. He's not well dressed. He's dumb and tough. He's not reacting to anything. And he's strong and stout. They thought it's a good offering for Kali. So they thought it's an apt offering for Kali. They took him, bathed him, put him on good clothes. And then, what they wanted to do? They wanted to chop his head in front of Kali. Think about this, you know. Such an exalted devotee. And they wanted to offer him as Narabali. It's called Narabali. India also, some places, Narabali used to it. When I was reading of one devotee's autobiography, in which this devotee, he wasn't a devotee then. He was into all different kinds of things. And he was traveling throughout in India. And he went to a place where one Shiva Bhakta was there, Shiva Kali kind of a Shakta worshipper was there. He went and approached him, he was checking out, is he my spiritual master? Started living with him. And then, it was in a cave, it was quite remote. And he was treating him very nicely. A few days passed. And then, by chance, someone saw him. So he had a private conversation with another person. He said, you are with such and such Baba? So he said, yeah, I am with him. He said, be very careful. Because he performed Narabali, human sacrifice. So he heard that, he ran away. Because he wanted to treat him nicely. That is one procedure. Feed them nicely, satisfy them. Then they are, you know, fit and strong, and dress them and bathe them, dress them nicely, and then offer nice offering to Kali. So that was the plan. Jadavara didn't do anything, he accepted everything, whatever they gave, he ate. He was bathed, he got well dressed, and he was about to be chopped in front of Kali. Then what happened? We know. Kali personally came and chopped all dacoits' heads. And left Jadavara, because Durgadevi is a great devotee of the Lord, and how can she accept the body of the Lord's great devotee? It is impossible. So she is a great devotee, so she didn't do that. She rather horrifically killed all these personalities, all these devotees. Then the question can ask, was Jadavara preaching at that point? The answer is yes, he was preaching. So his preaching was that he wasn't doing anything. Of course, he's a great devotee, so he knew what is actually going to happen. He was not bothered about his body. So he gave the darshan of Durga Devi to all these dacoits. In that way, he gave the mercy to dacoits, because to the dacoits there is no point preaching Bhagavatam, because they are not going to listen and they can't even understand, because they are already in tamogun, they are already tamasic. So what's the point speaking this high philosophy? They can't understand. So Jadavara thought, okay, Kali would personally come, so they are worshipping Kali, at least they can get Kali's darshan and they maybe get killed, but next life they can continue their journey. In that way, Jadabharat gave mercy to the dacoits. And now, this is the third instance in which Maharaj Rahugana is mistreating Jadabharat. So, the servants of the king just wanted a palanquin carrier. You know the palanquin, you know, four people can carry. And wanted a palanquin carrier, they saw Jadabharat, looked like a very strong, stout person. Okay, get him in. Carry the palanquin, that's it. And indeed he carried the palanquin. And then, because of his Vaishnava qualities, he had Jivedaya. He didn't want to even step on ants. Such was the consciousness of Jadabharat. And so, the palanquin was not steady. It was going here and there. It was rocking. And Rahugana started speaking in a very sarcastic fashion. So that there were many conversations of Rahugana speaking in a very sarcastically, and then he concluded, I am going to punish you. If you do like this, I am going to punish you. Right? Jadabharat was affected by such threats, and then he spoke spiritual instructions. And it is mentioned, why did he speak in this way? He spoke in a very philosophical way and in a very interesting way. He said, who you think as, you know, stout or thin or this or that, that's not you. He started speaking about Atmagyan, that's why he is mentioned. Atma Tattva Vidam Nina Paramam Guru. So that is a qualification, because directly Jadabharat spoke about Atma Tattva, specifically about Atma in this regard, explaining that Atma is beyond the gross and subtle body. And he gives a very beautiful explanation of everything. And so Jadabharata had to accept. And here, even though Jadabharata is here to preach Krishna consciousness devotion service, he started with the very basics, and also he spoke very intellectually. He didn't speak in a very simple manner, rather he spoke very intellectually. If you see the presentation of Jadabharata, it's a very interesting comment from Maharaj Rahugana, because he's telling, you are practically representing Kapiladeva, because Kapiladeva's presentation is very intellectual. The Sankhya philosophy, it is very analytical, and then coming to Krishna consciousness. So it's coming to the devotional principles after analyzing the material elements, so that we can read in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as well. In the same fashion, Jadabharat also presented Krishna consciousness after presenting all the Sankhya. An analytical presentation of body and soul, and in great detail we can read further as well. And then he presented Krishna consciousness. So it's very apt for Rahugana to say that you are representing Kapiladeva, who is Jnana Kalavatirnaha, who is representing the plenary portion of the representation of knowledge. So that is Kapiladeva, and you are representing such a bona fide spiritual master. So here we can see that a king, he's an intellectual. He thinks he's a knowledgeable person. So to cut his false ego, he presented in a very intellectual fashion. And then slowly, Jadabharat progresses his teaching up to devotion service. So we can see how he presented this philosophy. So here also we can see that Jadabharat is preaching. So here he is actually speaking, he is actually giving the knowledge, and that's why it is mentioned Sakshat Harim. He is representing the Supreme Lord because he is presenting the direct knowledge. So this is very, very interesting and very apt in this context, because Jadabharat is really acting as a spiritual master. And there also we can see that he was completely detached. He initiated Rahugana into Atma Tattva. After that, he didn't stay around. He just walks away. So he came He gave the knowledge, he just walked away. That's about it. Just like Shukadev Goswami in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami came, practically all the saintly persons of the world was assembled there on the bank of the Ganges. And Maharaj Parikshit was there, and Shukadev Goswami became the representative to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And indeed he spoke Bhagavatam, he just walked in. He spoke Bhagavatam and finally he asked, is everything clear? Have you got any questions? Do I need to explain anything more? Maharaj Parikshit said, no, everything is clear. And Shukadev Goswami got up and he just walked away. He didn't even wait for his disciple to leave this world. Generally would say, you know, okay, he's going to leave, but he didn't even wait for that, he just left. That is the detachment. And he has full confidence in Maharaj Parikshit also, he has already realized. So, I've given and I'm just leaving. That's about it. Similarly, here we can see that Jadabharata also, he gives the knowledge and then he just walks away. So you can see that transformation taking place in Maharaj Raghugana. So it's a very important and interesting narration of this qualified spiritual master who is representing Krishna. Let's look into other qualities of the spiritual master. First, let's look into the word of Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara. Why is Yogeshwara? Why is a perfect yogi? Because he is a pure devotee. A pure devotee has all the mystic siddhis. Generally, people perform all these yogic austerities to get different mystic siddhis like anima, nirma, mahima, prapti, kamavasi, etc. They want all different kinds of siddhis. Want to become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. You know, you can control others' minds. Create one's own planet. So, different kinds of siddhis, and they are very attractive because the whole material existence is about controlling and enjoying. So even a yogi, after going through austerities, wants to control and enjoy. So they may even misuse these kind of siddhis. A pure devotee has all these kind of siddhis at his disposal, at his beck and call. Everything is there. But a devotee is not interested in such kind of siddhis. A pure devotee is not interested in such kind of siddhis. What to speak about siddhis? Muktir mukuladanchari sevate smart dharmartha kamagade samaya pratiksha. Vilamukha Thakur says, Muktir mukuladanchari sevate smart. Mukti or the liberation personified is coming and standing in front of me with folded hands. Mukuladanchari. Mukuladanchari. This is mukuladanchari. Sevate smart, ready to serve. When can I give you impersonal liberation? So because all the gyanis, yogis, ultimately they want liberation from the material clutches because the material world means suffering. Everyone wants somehow or other finish the business and go to be one with Brahman. But a devotee never wants that. So Billamangala Thakur, he writes his realization in Krishna Karnamrita that Muktir Mukulitanchari Sevate Sman. And he says, then what to speak about Dharma, Artha and Kama? Dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratiksha. Samaya pratiksha means they are waiting for the time, appointment, waiting for the appointment. Samaya, okay, give me an appointment, I will come. If you want dharma, I will give you. Do you want kama, incense gratification, anything? Anima, lekhima, mahima, even yoga siddhis, I will serve you. And artha, well, how much other wealth you want, I will give you. Samaya pratiksha, looking for an appointment. Okay, can I come? But a devotee is not interested. Even Billamangala Thakur is saying, I am not interested in this. Why is it so? Because he is so absorbed in Krishna. Because Krishna has everything. Krishna has everything. This dharma, artha, kama, moksha, everything is in Krishna. Krishna is mukti pada. If you want enjoyment, you can go to Krishna. He has everything. And that is far superior to whatever we can find in this world. That's why he's telling. Bhakti sthiratara bhagavan yadisya kalena. Kalena. His youthful form, Kaishora.
Kaishora Murti.
Kaishora Murti.
Mm-hmm. Bhakti
Yes, so he's telling, if somebody has such a devotion, such a fixed devotion, then the Lord himself is present in front of him. So then what's the use of all these kind of things? That's why it's mentioned, he is Yogeshwara, he has all the mystic opulences even though he is not interested in such mystic opulences. So we can see, Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He had his all the mystic powers, but he didn't show any of his mystic powers. When the reporter should ask, what is your mystic power? Because all the gurus, they want to show their mystic powers. What did Prabhupada say? See all the devotees. They were not following any regulatory principles. They were hippies. Now, they have become pure devotees. So that is the mystic power. That is the real transformation. Here we can see, Jadavar is also showing his transformation. Oh, sorry, his mystic power. What is his mystic power? He converted Raghudana to a devotee. He didn't show any of his mystic opulence in other way. Jadavarat could have done anything, practically speaking. He could have shown anima, lekhima, mahima, he could have shown, you know, in front of Raghudana, he could have become, you know, like a big personality. He didn't show that, because what's the use? Rather, a pure devotee wants to transform the heart of other living entities, because that is going to help them eternally. So here, Jadavarat is also showing the same thing. One time, Srila Prabhupada, devotee said, one time Srila Prabhupada did something mystical other than this. In India, devotees were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in train, and it was a hot day and everyone was very thirsty. So they bought a tender coconut and they gave that tender coconut to Srila Prabhupada. They only had one, gave to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada drank as much as he wanted and then he passed on to the next devotee. And he also started drinking. He also drank as much as he wanted. He gave it to the next person. Like they said, all the devotees were there, all had enough tender coconut water. So sometimes the devotee can show mystical power if he desires to. But we don't count on that. But what we count on? How such a devotee is preaching Krishna consciousness. How such a devotee is helping others to be Krishna conscious. So that is what is most important. So we can see in the life of Jadavarat, yes, it is so important. And next, the point he has mentioned, you can see, Atma Tattva Vidam Munina Param Guru. So this is also very important because there are many kinds of self-realized personalities in this world. But the highest of them is a devotee. It's not Jnani or a Yogi or anyone else. If you go into the spiritual market, you can see so many different kinds of gurus. But of which, who is the highest? Who is a devotee? That's why it's mentioned. Here in the quotation, you can see the first verse that's been quoted in this purport. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate rantaratna bhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamo matatha. You can see that who is that great devotee? One who is completely fixed in love with Krishna. Such a person is the greatest devotee, and that is the greatest devotee, and that is this Paramam Guru. So Jadavarat is such a Paramam Guru, and he can award what? He can give the secure shelter. Iharanam, that is very, very important. What is that? Ultimate shelter. Sharanam, Sharanyam, we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the real shelter? Who we can take shelter of, that is Sharanyam or Sharanam and Iharanam, the most secure shelter. Iha Aranam, Aranam is the shelter. In this world, what is that shelter? We try to find so many different kinds of shelter in this world, isn't it? So many different kinds of shelter. Money is a shelter, job is a shelter, position is a shelter, fame is a shelter, bank account is a shelter. You name it. So many different kinds of shelter that we strive for, but they are all insecure shelters. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the second kind of Srimad Bhagavatam. What does Srila Prabhupada call this kind of shelters? Anyone remembers? They are temporary. They are fallible soul chips. Exactly, they are all fallible soldiers. They are fallible, they are not secure. We have many security companies, you know, they are very secure. Money is secure, property is secure, nothing is secure in this world. The only thing that is secure is our service to Krishna. And that's why we have spiritual master, we have a society of devotees. That is the only security, there is no other security in this world. So, if we sacrifice the eternal for the temporary, we will lose both. Right? If we sacrifice eternal for temporary things, we lose both. Because temporary thing anyway is not going to be with us. And eternal thing, if we sacrifice that, is also gone. So, we are left with nothing. So, that's why it's mentioned, the real aranam, the real shelter is Krishna. And Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita that Kamteya Pratyanehi Namaya Bhakta Pranashyati. I declare that, so he says, Arjuna, you declare boldly that my devotees never perish. So Krishna gives that guarantee. So we can be for sure that we can give our time in Krishna service. We can give our energy in Krishna service. We can give our quality time in our sadhana. Because it is a secure investment. Everyone wants investment. So this is the most secure investment. Srila Prabhupada so mentioned one time that we can engage even gambling in Krishna service. How can we engage gambling in Krishna service? Gamble your life for Krishna. Give your life for Krishna. So you gamble. So that is the best gamble. Because we don't know. Anyway, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. So in one sense, we are gambling our time. We are gambling our life. Because we could have done so many other things. So Prabhupada says, if you want to do gamble, gamble your life for Krishna. Don't go to the casino. But in the temple. You can serve Krishna. You can preach Krishna consciousness. In that way, you gamble your life for Krishna. Because why? I don't know. This is the most secure investment. It is the most secure shelter. This word is, many places this word aranam is used in Bhagavatam. Even in the 11th canto we can see this word aranam as a shelter. This is a real shelter. Even in the 3rd canto, even in 4th canto, Pradhu Maharaj's instruction, we can see this word. What is the real shelter? That is Krishna. So here, Rahugana, he is completely transformed. So his question is also very valid. Very pertinent question to this world. Very important question as well. That what is the most secure shelter in this world? And that is Krishna. That we need to understand. And Krishna is so kind that whatever service that we do, Krishna is ready to accept that service. Whatever little service he is ready to accept. Bhrityasya pashyati guru nabi na paradhan. Krishna says, this is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhrityasya pashyati guru nabi na aparadhan. Even a devotee commits a great aparadh, still Krishna doesn't consider it as so serious. Krishna doesn't give up such a person. So, Bhrityasya Pashyati Guru Napi Na Aparadhan. It's alright, he hasn't really done such a great offense. It's alright. Then, Seva Manaka Vikritam Bahudha Prabhupada. And if you do Manak, little bit. Seva Manak, little bit of service. Whatever you do, so little bit of service. Right? It's not great. Bit of service if you do Bahudha Prabhupada. Krishna considered Bahudha. He's doing such a good, doing so much of service for me. Even though he doesn't need our service. Does Krishna need our service? He doesn't need our service. Prahlad Maharaj, in his second prayer, he mentioned this point. Second or third, he mentioned this point. Don't think that the Lord needs your glorification or service. He doesn't need anything. Nijalabha Purna. He is complete in himself. He doesn't need anything. But he accepts out of his kindness. Manam. The dhar, you know, he accepts mana, he accepts the glorification. Avidushobhi, from the ignorant people, he is ready to accept the glorification. So, Vishwanathapitakur mentions, why he accepts Usually, a person of respect will not accept glorification from a person who is a fool. You know, a fool glorifying you doesn't add any value to you. Really, a fool comes and glorifies you. Better I get out from here, right? A foolish person is glorifying. So, Vishwakarma says the people of this, the people of this world are really foolish. They are foolish because we are very foolish because we hear all this philosophy. Still, we strive for sense gratification. After hearing everything, we know now what is the most secure shelter. We know sense gratification is going to help us. We know that we need to do attendee chanting. Still, we run for sense gratification and we get slack in our sadhana. So, the living beings in general are considered very foolish. Still, the Lord is very merciful that even such foolish people, if they glorify, the Lord is accepting. Seva managavikritam bahudha pibhaye. Very great service you are doing, sincerely. Not just, you know, just not just a show. Is it really accepts? Avishkarodi pishnoshvi na abhyasuya. Pishnoshvi, who is very envious. Those who want to create harm to others, the Lord is not really envious to them. He is okay. He knows so many people are doing all nonsense, so many atrocious activities. Still, Krishna is ready to give their good karma, no problem. Okay, you want to enjoy? Okay, go for it. Now it is asuya. He doesn't have any asuya. Okay, no, it's okay. You want to choose your path? Krishna says, okay, do it, no problem. And then the verse is concluded by Shilena Nurmadamati Purushottamaya. See his such are his wonderful qualities. He's so pure and such are his wonderful qualities, he doesn't have any to anyone, to even to his enemies. And he accepts everyone's service, even the little service he's ready to accept. And even if someone performs some offenses, Krishna doesn't take seriously. Why? He wants all the living entities to come to him because it is for their benefit, not for his benefit. He doesn't want to increase his antaraj so that I have more servants for me. No, it is our constitutional position and that's what is going to help us. So Krishna, with all these good qualities, he is waiting for us. He is waiting when all these people are coming to me. In that way, they get benefit. So that is the mood of the Supreme Lord. And so, he sends his representatives like Kapiladev, plenary portion, Jadabhara, Srila Prabhupada, and so many followers of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to take the opportunity to serve them, get their instructions and follow those instructions. In that way, make our life successful and we also have secure shelter, Aranam, Iha, in this world. Okay, thank you. I stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Okay. We step on that. Yeah.
You explain about how...
One second. We can speak on the microphone.
Yeah, let's go. You explain about how Jagvara was always preaching. And you explain very nicely how he was preaching so expertly. Just according to the need of the audience. So in our preaching also, we, you know, there's a lot of trial and error that we try, but how do we know exactly what, you know, what we need to preach or how we need to preach, what would be the most effective way of preaching?
We try and Krishna reciprocates. So preaching is based on inspiration by the Super Soul. So, if you want what is the right method in a given context, we highly depend on Krishna. There is no black and white answer. So, Prabhupada said, we have to really think how we can help people, how we can preach in a particular context. So, that is our endeavor, our trial, and then we highly depend on Krishna for His mercy. There is no right or wrong answer. So it varies. Preaching technique varies. It is based on inspiration. So inspiration, where does the inspiration come from? From Krishna. So we had to try. We had it in Krishna conscious and we had it right, then depend on Krishna. That's why Prabhupada didn't want big book distributors to go and teach the techniques, the lines. He wanted it is based on enthusiasm and inspiration. So he wanted that to happen rather than, you know, okay, this is a line, you go and repeat the line. And even in book distribution, we know certain things come out from the mouth and it works. So inspiration. So that is depending on Krishna. Okay. So then you want to mention it?
Thank you, Prabhupada, for the nice class. My question is that in devotional service, how do we know if Krishna is happy with our service or if he is not happy?
Okay, very good. Two answers to your questions. Okay, one, we know that we are doing right when devotees are happy. Okay. So when you do service, you can see devotees are happy. If they say, oh yeah, you're doing good, then you know that you're doing all right. You can ask your mom, you can ask the devotees, then they know that you're doing all right. Second, when you do nice service, you also feel happy. Krishna will reciprocate you by making you happy. So both ways you can see. You can hear from other devotees and you can also feel. Make sense?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. You have a question? Probably.
No. I forgot that words.
Eh?
I remember that words now. Forgotten.
Oh, okay. Kalena Bhavati Divya Kishore Mundi. That is the second one. Mukti Siratara Bhagavan Yadisya Kalena Nabhavati Divya Kishore Murti Muktir Mukridanjali Sevaresma Dharmatha Kamagade Samaya Pradiksha. Any other question? No? Okay. Thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Shyamakar ki jai.
Gopande Prabhu ki jai.
Sabhe Dwar Bhaskar Dhandi ki jai.